Grab your King James Bible, and would you stand and turn to Luke chapter 15 with me? Luke chapter 15. We're going to start in verse 11, and we'll read responsively as is our custom. So Luke 15, starting in verse 11. I'll give you a chance to get there. I'll start reading verse 11. You can join on verse 12. And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with righteous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain that he filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great far off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servant, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead, and is alive again. He is lost, and is found, and they began to be merry. Let's pray. Dear Father, Lord, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for being the best Father, our Heavenly Father, Lord. We thank you for all that you've given us, Lord, and all the love that you've bestowed upon us, Lord. I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would come down again, Lord, and meet with us, and provide the unction for this function, Lord. I thank you again, Lord, for all you do and all that you've done, Lord, in your name. Amen.
You may be seated. I do want to say by way of a couple of statements before I think I get right into my message. I want to say I thank God for my kids. You know, I of course, if I didn't have my kids, I wouldn't be a dad. And I really enjoy being a dad. I really, really do enjoy being a dad. And I love seeing what God has done in the life of my kids, as all you dads could probably testify the same thing. But I do enjoy being a dad, and I really hope that all you dads feel the same way. But again, I don't say it a lot, and I don't probably say it enough sometimes, but I love my children with all my heart, and I certainly thank God for them, and I thank God for being my children, and I'm glad I get to be their dad. But I want to speak to you this morning. We often hear messages much on the prodigal son, but today I want to kind of zoom in a little bit on the prodigal father. The prodigal's father, I'll put it that way. The prodigal's father, the father of this prodigal son that went ahead and left home prematurely, I believe. And it is kind of a Father's Day message, though it will be very parental, I think, to some degree. But I also think you will find something for every single one of us. Maybe you're here a Christian. Maybe you've wandered away. Maybe your relationship with God isn't quite where it should be. And maybe that's an area you need to search your heart this morning. I want to encourage you dads to go ahead and love your children, if you will, unconditionally, as we see here in this particular portion of Scripture. And also, it is going to be very parental as well. I'll probably give a few guidelines, some things that have helped me as far as parenting my kids, and maybe some things along the way. But I think the greatest example of a father's love that God has for us is this particular scripture we read a while ago. We see the life of a father whose love was unconditional. Thank God that God the Father, our Heavenly Father's love is unconditional. Amen. We'd be in trouble if his love was conditional. If we went ahead and we blew it and says, well, you blew it, Sean. I don't love you anymore. That's not how God operates. I thank God that His love is unconditional. We'll see that through this very, very familiar portion of Scripture. But of course, the parable goes on and about a man that has two sons, and the younger son, of course, said to his father, "Give me my inheritance. Give me the portion of goods that falleth to me." And the father divided to them his living. And the Bible says that he went into a far country. He went into the world. And he wasted his living. And he had it all, if you will, for a while. He thought, man, my inheritance is going to be good enough. And he squandered his living, if you will. And let me just say this. Every time you go into the world and live in the world, it is wasteful living. Okay? You will eventually turn around and say, I wish I had not done that. I wish I had gone ahead and maybe and listened to my dad. I wish I'd gone ahead and listened to the Heavenly Father, the Holy Spirit of God in my life, if you will. I wish I'd gone ahead and listened to wisdom and godly authority over me and so forth. You go on into the world and live like the world and be like the world and smell like the world, like this prodigal son did, you're going to wind up wishing that you had not. And you will go ahead and smell like the world, and the result of living in the world always, always, always winds up being that of frustration. It always winds up that of being disappointed. You think you're on the mountaintop and excited, and look at me, and you're living all the pleasures of the world, but eventually it does catch up to you, and you will be disappointed. But that's what this man did. He had the best of everything. He probably had the best of clothes of the day, maybe the best of chariots, if you will, horses that got him around, you know, all the things of that day that were what he thought was important to him. And the consequence of his indecisive and immature actions caused him to spend all, and he began to be in want, as the scripture says, and then there came a famine in the land. And he began to realize what kind of trouble that he got himself into. Now, as a result of the actions, the scripture teaches us that he went about working. He was desperate, if you will. He went to working for feeding hogs in this parable, as Jesus taught and so forth. Went about feeding hogs and so forth. And started eating that of what hogs eat. I grew up on a farm. We had hogs. Okay, that'd be the least place on the farm that I would want to go ahead and bunk with. Believe me, all right? You know, it's one thing to go into the barn where the cattle were, or go into the stable where the horse was, but it's a whole other thing to go into the pig pen and feed them and the slop that they live in and so forth. And this guy, this young man, if you will, was very much in that situation. And then the Bible, of course, teaches us that he came to himself and he wondered, literally, what am I doing here? How in the world, what in the world am I doing here? And, of course, as I mentioned a moment ago, the disappointment came, the frustration in his life came, and no doubt thoughts of, like, I should have listened to Dad, I should have listened to the godly parenting that I had in my home, I should have gone ahead and done right, I should have gone ahead and followed the Lord, as a Christian, you know, I shouldn't have delved into here. You can go ahead and live in the world all you want, Christian, but let me tell you something, eventually you will get disappointed, and you will get to a point, just like this young man, what in the world am I doing here? How did I get here? You will be miserable, you will be frustrated, and you're going to get to a point of maybe pondering, how did I get in this mess? You know, in Christian, you're going to get to a point of wondering, why did I do this? You know, we have a godly pastor, I have a great church, I have a godly mama and daddy that wakes up every Sunday morning, we go to church, we serve the Lord together, but perhaps all the preaching and all the teaching, and perhaps after a while you got a little bit disenchanted, you got a little bit indifferent, you got a little bit cold or whatever, and you said, I've had enough, and I want to try things my way, and you go live it in the world, and let me tell you something, as a result, you will become like this prodigal son. You will never be happy. The happiest people I know are them folks that are right center in the will of God this morning. And you know what? The safest place you can be is in the center of God's will. Whether it be that of Africa, whether it be that of Canada, whether it be that of the United States or Afghanistan, whatever. If you are where God wants you to be, God will take care of you. God will surely take care of you. But we know the result of this story, but I want to zoom in a little bit here and keep moving along here this morning a little bit on the prodigal's father. You know, some things that I kind of jotted down, if you will, a few thoughts about the prodigal's father, and we can go ahead and liken it to our Heavenly Father and so forth, if you will. But the first thing I noticed, that the father gave his son the freedom to choose. Now, I don't know if that's necessarily the right thing. Perhaps I should say, but I do know this, that God certainly gives us the freedom to choose as well. Okay, God does not go ahead and reach you down, grab you by your neck and say, you go ahead and serve me. Yeah, you know, the Bible says, I'm thinking of Joshua 24:15, choose you this day whom ye will serve. Joshua, great man of God, but he says, but as for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. There were no ifs, ands, or buts about Joshua and his household. He knew what he was going to do. He was the godly leader. He was a godly daddy, and my children and mama in the home, we're going to go ahead and serve the Lord. But you know what? God doesn't go ahead and reach down, grab you by the neck and say, you go ahead and serve me, you go ahead and go to church. You know what? He does give us a free will. But let me just say this. You want to choose your way? You want to choose your life? You want to do what you want to do? You know what? He'll give you the right to choose, but he will not give you the right to choose the consequences of that choice. You want to choose to serve God and love God, there'll be some wonderful benefits, if you will, coming your way. But you want to go ahead and so to speak, disrobe of your Christian life. You can't lose your salvation by any means, but just say, I've had enough and go live in the world. Let me tell you something. You chose that, and you cannot choose the consequence of what the world's going to do to you. You chose it. God didn't go ahead and put you there. You decided this is what I wanted to do. You got a little bit of prideful living in you, and you went out there and you did just that. You did what you wanted to do. Even though the actions of the son was immature and untimely, the father did not stand in the way. You know, God does not go ahead and stand in the way of you as well. If you're going to go ahead and once you get to the point of rebellion in your life, God's not going to say, you know what? He's not going to necessarily stand in the way. Now, he will chastise you. The Bible says that he does go ahead and spank his children and so forth. Wonderful illustration, if you will, of a father's love to his children. Same way as parenting today. We all get all shook up about the spanking thing and so forth. But it's a wonderful illustration. But God, he will not go ahead and let you wander too far. And he's going to go ahead and chastise you. And I think that's what he was doing to the parable, the prodigal son here. He was chastising him for the decisions that he went ahead and made. The father didn't stand in the way here, however. But I do believe, let me just stop and say this. I believe we, though, dads, we have a key role in our children's life. You have a very important role. Boy, it's time to understand the opportunity that you have as a daddy. Boy, if you still got your children underneath your roof of your house, this is the opportunity to teach them and to train them the ways of the Lord. This is an opportunity to teach them, thus saith the Lord, this is what we're going to do. No ifs, ands, or buts. Nothing's going to go ahead and veer us off from being what God wants us to be as a godly family. We're going to live upright. We're going to live moral. We're going to do right. Hey, I choose you this day whom ye will serve, but as for me and my house, we need some Joshuas, if you will, in the home. We need some Joshuas who say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Hey, dads, you've got a very key role in them children. You've got a very important role, if you will, in the life of your children. Boy, daddies, you ought to be teaching them how to make good decisions based upon the principles of the Word of God. The Bible says in Proverbs 22:6, train up a child the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Hey, you know what, dads? Teach your children character. Well, teach them the importance of hard work. You know, teach them, you know, and boy, if you come home, and I talk to you young men real quick, you come home after a hard day's work because your daddy may have gone ahead and taught you how to work. Maybe you got to go out and mow the lawn. You know what? Maybe you got to go out and mow the lawn. It may not be a rider, but you got a little push more and so forth as I used to, and you might get yourself a little blister, so... You know, I tell you, I know I've gone down this road before, but I think it bears repeating. You know, if you're a young man, you come to me and you're able to work and work hard and so forth, and you come to me and you have a little blister, you start fussing about it. You know what? I'm not going to give ear to that. You know what I'm going to tell you? Pop it. Let's just move on. I'm serious. You know what? We're a very soft society. You know, it's time to go ahead and harden up a little bit, fellas, and don't tell me about your hangnail, fellas. Don't, you know what? I'll just tell you, pull it off. Let's just keep going to work. Amen. You know, don't tell me that if you, some of you fellas go ahead and tell me I broke a nail, your nails were too long in the first place. Amen. You know, I'm talking to young men for just a moment, but dads, we ought to be teaching our children character. Whether it be a son or whether it be a daughter, we ought to be teaching them how to work. We ought to be teaching them the importance of hard work, if you will. We ought to be teaching them about being timely, if you will, and being on time, if you will. We ought to be teaching them about dating. Amen. You know, the world has no right to teach your children how to date. The world does not know how to teach your children how to date. It's all wrong. If you allow Hollywood to teach your children how to date, that's the problem with America today. We got so much pregnancy out of wedlock, and we just so loose today and so forth. Hey, you know what? Godly daddy, hey, godly mama, it's time to step in. Teach your children how to date. Teach them to live clean and pure. Teach them to be pure till the altar. Teach them to that their goal ought to be pure until the marriage bed, if you will. Hey, teach them purity. Teach them how to date. Amen and amen. You know, get a little quiet here, but we've allowed Hollywood to go ahead and dictate our morals. No, it's time for the Word of God to dictate our morals. Amen. You know, if Hollywood's going ahead and dictating the morals of your home and dictating the morals of your mind and dictating the morals of who you are, and it's pulling you from the Word of God, it's time to shut off the boob tube, if you will. And it's time, and if you don't like that, that's okay. But it's time to shut off the old television, if you will. And it's time to go ahead and open up the Word of God and start reading the Word of God and see what it says about morality. Amen. You know, it's time for that. Whoa, we're getting all wrapped up and we're just letting everything go, living this everything goes society, and it's wrong and it's out of hell. Amen. Getting quiet. We'll move right along, I guess. But boy, teach your children about hard work. Don't teach them to be lazy. You know, your character often will be who they are. You know, your kind of character, mom and dad, and dads, if I can just talk to you for a few minutes here, your character will determine much of who they are down the road. You know, if they see you just a hard work and just really going at, if they see your godliness, you know what? They will in many, many cases say, you know, I want to be godly like my dad. I want to have the prayer life of my daddy. I know that my dad's a man of God. I was thinking of Noah this week. You know, Noah was a man. He was a family that literally had to stand alone. You know, he was mocked and he was laughed at and all of this other stuff. And Noah went ahead and he had to literally stand alone. You know, they'd never seen rain before. Rain, yeah, that's funny. You know, building an ark? Oh, yeah, that's really weird. You're building an ark. And you say God's gonna flood. Okay, Noah, you are whacked out. That's how they thought of him in the day. But you know what? I got thinking about his children, his family. You know what? They knew that Noah got a command from God. And Noah, in spite of the laughter, in spite of the mockery, you know what? He stood firm. You know what? That spoke volumes, I guarantee you, in Ham, Shem, and Japheth. I guarantee you, in Noah's wife, that went ahead and spoke volume, saying, you know what? My daddy's a man of God. Doesn't matter what the world says. Doesn't matter whether they laugh at him. Doesn't matter whatever. You know what? My dad is a man of God. Well, you know, your children ought to be able to see that in your daddy. They ought to know that you're a man of God. They ought to know that God is first place. They ought to know that God is the ruler, if you will, of the home. They ought to know that you are who you say you are. They ought to know that your character is a God-given character. Boy, we ought to be teaching and training our kids the principles of the Bible. Teach them from right and wrong, and why wrong is wrong, and why right is right. Teach them the consequence of sin. Don't let Hollywood go ahead and teach your children their morals. You teach them what immorality will do. You teach them about what doing right for God will do. You teach them about marriage. You know, not only teach them how to date and date right and date clean and pure and save yourself from marriage and so forth. That's all biblical and it's right. But you teach them about a good marriage by you having a good marriage. By you treating your wife, if you will, as the queen of your life that she so deserves to be. Boy, she ought to be the queen of your life. She still ought to be the you know, every single day when I go to God, I thank God for my wife. I say these words to God every single day of my life. I thank you for allowing my wife to be the love of my life. God, I thank you for that. I thank you for allowing her to be healthy and strong enough still that I get to wrap my arms and just be close to my wife and have her be my best friend. I do literally thank God for the love of my life back there. Boy, she ought to be the queen of your life. You ought to teach your children, teach them the importance of marriage. Teach them how to handle money. Teach them about tithing and how God blesses the tithe. Teach them how to handle money and not squander, if you will. Teach them to save. Boy, the result of teaching them, they will not depart from. The Bible says, train up a child the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. You know, I was thinking this week as well, of course, you know, so I think probably more in this time frame of my life about my mom and dad than I ever have, just because of some of the adversity they've gone through and so and are going through. But you know, I was thinking and thanking God for my dad this morning and even this week, and I do thank God for him every single day. But I thank him for my dad, and you know, I thank God that when I did do wrong, he was a man of his word, and he disciplined me, and he wasn't afraid to discipline me. You know, if I got out of line, you know, I always hated it when I got out of line, my dad wasn't home. You go to your room, my mom says. I knew it was coming. I knew I broke the law of the home, so to speak, and I knew what was coming. And I'm the kind of guy that, you know what, you know, mom, would you just take care of it? You know what, I love your spankings a whole lot better than dad's. I did. I mean, I didn't want to wait for dad. And then sometimes I think they would conspire against me a little bit, you know, because it seemed like forever before. But, you know, I was the kind of guy, let's get the discipline done and over with. Done. I mean, I don't want to wait. I want to go outside and play again. But if I'm going to get the spanking, let's go ahead and let's deal with it. And it seemed like they conspired. It seemed like they just kind of drew it out as long as they could, just to whatever. I didn't like that. But I thank God that he taught me right from wrong. I thank God that he taught me how to work. You know, most of the wonderful memories, some of the most wonderful memories that I have with my dad and my mom, or even our family, was work. We grew up on a farm, and work was very much the part of the life. And I loved it. I loved the farm. But I thank God for the work ethic that my dad taught me. You know, I'm no jack of all trades like my dad is. My dad, you know, he could just touch things, and he makes it happen. I mean, he, amazing builder, built a farm, and then he built his retirement home, if you will, and he's been a builder, and of course he's a farmer, and he can just tinker, he can just do all kinds of things, and I didn't get all of that, and sometimes I wish I did, and I think sometimes it was my lack of character. I should have maybe been more watchful during times, at certain times, and so forth. But nonetheless, you know, he taught me how to work, he taught me how to sweat, you know, and some of my work ethic, all my work ethic, if you will, came from my dad. If he, you know, he wasn't going to have me, he wasn't going to hear about a hangnail from one of his boys. He wasn't going to hear about a blister. Well, you know, throwing bales all day long, sometimes you're going to get a blister. He wasn't going to hear that. Let's get the work done. Let's get the job done. You know, he hardened us boys, if you will, as far as being strong and having a good work ethic. But I thank God for the basic knowledge that he's taught me as far as working on a vehicle and sweating out in a hayfield and changing my oil, if you will, and changing a flat tire and driving tractors and trucks. That was the most wonderful part of the job right there. I loved learning how to drive and driving in the hayfields and all that. Learning how to run a chainsaw. You know, I know some of this may be irrelevant to you, but that was stuff that I learned at a relatively young age. But boy, taught how to work, if you will. Taught me how to be a good dad. You know, dads, you got an important role. Teach your children how to be a good dad. Teach them moral character. Teach them how to be a good husband and be faithful. Dads, sure way to, you know, a sure way to spend time with your kids is just show them how to work. A lot of my memories with my dad was just out working with him. We had the privilege of working a lot together. But don't let them be lazy. Get them a job to do and teach them how it needs to be done. You know, parents, you ought to teach your children responsibility around the home. You know, I understand, you know, parents, your mom and dad, dads, moms, if you will, as well. You know, you work 40 plus hours a week. You come home and you've got still the bills to pay. You've got, you know, all the duties of parenting. You know, and sometimes the stress level can be so high. You know, you got so much going on. But, you know, that's why as your kids get to certain ages, you know, you give them more responsibility as they get older. Man, teach them how to take the trash out. Teach them about mowing the lawn. Teach them about cleaning the house. Teach them about all of this. Let me tell you something, it'll take a whole lot of pressure off you. It'll take a lot of stress. It'll relieve a lot of stress. A little bit of practical advice there for a second, but it will relieve a lot of stress, if you will. Teach them how to work. You know, here we find that the dad had respected his son's independence to let him choose his own way. You know, and man does choose his own destiny. God the Father gives us a free will, as I mentioned a moment ago. He respects us enough to have us go or choose our own way. Choose you this day. We went down that road, whom ye will serve. Joshua 24:15. The prodigal's father loved in spite of his loss. And God loves us in spite of us rejecting him, showing an unconditional love. You know what? Let me just stop and say this. Your kids will blow it. Do you know why? Because they're not perfect. Preacher, you told me my kids... Come on, let's be help me out now. Be realistic. Your kids aren't perfect. Guess what? Mine aren't either. Okay? And you know what? Your kids will go ahead and disappoint you. Your kids will go ahead and do something that'll get, you know, get you maybe a little upset and so forth. But that doesn't mean that you go ahead and cut ties with them. I'm thinking of situation when I was in Bible college in the mid-90s, one of the durations I was there and so forth, a good friend of ours, you know, they were called to preach and went to Bible college as well, and very good friends of ours all the way through our life to this day. They're missionaries today and so forth. And they had a son that was just very, very rebellious, just very hard towards the things of God. And, of course, they all moved to Bible college. He was probably 8 or 10 years old, maybe a little older, I suppose, at that time and so on. And he went ahead and, you know, he went ahead and called me one morning and said, "My son's ran away." Here we were out in Merrillville, Indiana, and "My son's ran away. Can you help?" You know, and my wife and I went to help look for them, and they couldn't, you know, it took a day or so to go ahead and find them, if you will. But I remember riding with this dear brother, you know, he says, "You know, Sean, I love my son with all my heart." I said, "Yeah, you ought to." He says, "But, you know," and I said, "I just want to do this as the prodigal father would do it." You know, again, being a lesson from the Heavenly Father as well. But I just want to go ahead and do this as the prodigal father would want me to go ahead and do it. I want to love my children, if you will, unconditionally. He says, "I'm not going to go ahead and cut ties when we bring him back. I'm going to go ahead and surround him with our love and so forth. And I'm going to go ahead and be there for him and so on." And we see that irregardless of the loss, you know, this father went ahead and loved unconditionally. You know what? When we go ahead and we go ahead and blow it with God, so to speak, you know what? God loves us unconditionally as well. I almost said it a moment ago, I thank God for his unconditional love. The prodigal's father did not even stop loving him because of his son's choice. You know, that's more reason to go ahead and love and pray for him. You know what? The son made a very bad choice. He should have stayed home. He should have stayed there. Of course, this is an illustration. It's a parable to teach a lesson and so forth. But you know what? When you look at it in the real world, you know, the son should have gone ahead and stayed home. He shouldn't have left at this particular time. But you know what? That's all the more reason. If they go ahead and go off and into the world, that doesn't mean you say, "Well, you know, God, whatever, just kind of push them away." You need to pray for them. Maybe your children today aren't doing everything the way that you want them to do, but you know what? You still need to love them unconditionally, and you still need to go ahead and pray for them. Maybe they're living in the world today. Maybe they're not living in line with the Word of God and living for God. But you know what you need to do, Daddy and Mama? You need to pray together and pray for your children every single day. I think that's what this dad did. But God, you know what? He loves us unconditionally. God does not give up on us when we go ahead and make a mistake. He continually loves you, but God commendeth his love toward us, the Bible says. For God so loved the world, he loves us, and his love never faileth. And I thank God that when Pastor Weeks goes ahead and blows it, and you ought to thank God as a church member, as a Christian daddy, as a Christian mama, as a Christian teenager, when you do go ahead and blow it, thank God, "I love you." Thank God he loves you anyways. Thank God he's there waiting for open arms. Hey, you know what? Everything the son had, another thought here, the son had was given by the father. We know that. You know, the inheritance. Everything that the son had, the roof over, you know, he had all the security, then the inheritance and so forth. Everything that the son had was given by the father. You know, everything we have today was given by God. Amen. Your talent, guess what? Guess who gave you your talent? You know what? God did. That's why you ought to take your singing talent. That's why you ought to take your speaking talent. That's why you ought to take your whatever talent. You know, working with wood, working with vehicles, working with whatever, a mechanic, whatever it is. Helping people, a doctor, whatever. Whatever talent God gave you, you ought to just go ahead and give it to Him because He gave it to you anyways. And thank God for the talents. And yes, maybe you're making a living with that talent. Thank God. Thank God that He gave you the know-how to do that, and maybe you're able to take that talent and go ahead and make a living off it and so forth. But thank God, and don't forget where your talent came from. You know, everything that we have came from God. Every pleasure, every joy. You look around, God gave it to you. Yeah, I was thinking this morning, I walked around the building a little bit this morning before I went to my office, and boy, what a beautiful morning it was, and hearing the birds chirping and so on, and seeing all the green leaves and the green grass and just seeing the blue sky. I said, boy, God, You are good. Thank You for this. God, You gave this beautiful sight. You gave this beautiful day to me. I think it was a gift to me and to you. And to you. He gave it to us. The Son could not have even left had it not been for the provision of the Father. When you think about it, you know, if He went ahead and there was no inheritance, you know, the Son wouldn't have been able to go down the road, if you will, very far. Boy, our health are all God-given things. Boy, you ought to thank God for your health. If you have it, thank God for it. If you've got your health and maybe you've not maybe been able to live thus far, if you will, without any health issues, and so, thank God for your health. But maybe you're having some health problems and so forth. You know what? Thank God. Thank God for each and every day that He gives you and the grace that He gives you each and every day. The prodigal's father took nothing back in spite of the son's selfish behavior. You know, God even blesses those who rejects Him. You know, the father gave his son the freedom to choose and did not stand in the way. And it grieved this dad. I can understand putting myself in his shoes. It grieved this dad very much. Perhaps the son knew better. I'm sure he knew better. I think, you know, this parable, you know, talking, I think it's, I put it in a perspective of a Christian dad and a Christian family perspective, if you will. I think he was well taught, but he chose his own destiny. He chose his own life. And God does the same with man as well. You know, the circumstances of life in this young lad, in this young son, if you will, the younger of the two, the Bible says, you know, the circumstances of life brought him to a point that he needed daddy. You know what? The Bible says he came to himself. You know what? When he spent it all on riotous living, when he went ahead and he spent all, you know, he realized he was destitute. Maybe he was losing all his belongings that he was able to buy and so forth, and he needed a job, and he found a job feeding pigs or whatever, and he realized, man, and he came to himself in that pig pen, and look at where I'm at. You know, he's comparing himself to where he's at right then in the pig pen, to where he was with his dad, when he was at home, safe and secure, if you will, in his home, in the arms of his dad, if you will. You know what? The circumstances of life brought him to the point that he needed a savior, that he needed his daddy. You know what? Let me just say this, Christian. Maybe you're living in the world today. Maybe you've wandered far away from home. Hey, you know, it's time to come home today. It's time to go ahead and come to yourself and realize, I don't want to live this way anymore. I don't want this music anymore to run my life. I don't want this crowd of friends to run my life. I don't want this to run my life. Whatever the case may be, I don't want money to run my life. I've just gone ahead and followed the world. And you know, as a child of God, you may be off track with God today. Why don't you decide today, hey, I need God again. I need to come on back home today. I need to get back into the fold today. I need to come on home today. Hey, if you like that today, why don't you go ahead and, what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? You know, the circumstances that this child went ahead and put himself in. And by the way, the circumstances that a backslidden Christian put himself into. You know what? Put yourself in this prodigal son's shoes a bit. You know, he realized, I need dad. And you know, he was in desperate need. He was destitute here. He had nowhere to go. And he was smelling and stinking like the world. And he says, I need dad. When will you break enough? When will the junk of the world break you to enough to a point, boy, I need to go home to daddy. I need to go home to the Savior. When will it be? When will it be? You know, you realize the actions, Christian, and I'm talking to Christians for a moment. You know, the actions of your sin not only is going to affect you, but you know what? There's going to be somebody else that you're affecting with it. You want to live like the world, you know what? You're going to take somebody with you. By the way, their blood will be on your hands too. You will face God one day if you choose to go this way and live there until Jesus comes, and you know, and you're saved. As far as you know, you're saved. You're written in the Lamb's Book of Life, but you know you're backslidden as a devil, and that's the way you choose. Let me tell you something. Those that you that went ahead and followed, you will face God. You will hold account to God one day for it. You want to live like the world, you know what? Sin is only fun for a season, just a little while. It's just a little while. You know, you may think that I'm just sojourning in the world just to try things out. You know, there's nothing in the world, there's no pleasure in the world today worth trying out. But you know what? You just go ahead and you bathe yourself around the Son of God. You bathe yourself with the Holy Spirit of God. You bathe yourself in the Word of God. Hey, this is all you need. Jesus Christ is all you need. But you know, the circumstances of this young man's life realized, you know, caused him to realize, I need Dad. He came to himself. Let me ask you a question, Christian. Are you coming to yourself? How about that sin that you think it doesn't affect anybody? Truth of the matter is, you know what? That sin that you may not think affects anybody, as I said a moment ago, will. But you know what? That sin, that besetting sin, maybe it's little to you, but it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And you know what? You are, as a result of that sin, you're getting further and further and further away from God. And eventually you will realize, you'll be a backslidden Christian, how did I get here? God gives you the right to choose, but he does not give you the right to choose the consequence of your choice. This young man went ahead and chose the wrong path. But you know what? He came to a point in his life where he came to himself. He said, I got to go back home to Daddy. It was much safer there. And he says, I know that my sin, I'm not going to be able to be everything that I should have been had I gone ahead and stayed. But you know what? I know I got to go back home to Dad. The circumstances of life brought this young man. You know, when the son's life was at his lowest, he realized he needed Dad. You know, our need for God is most apparent at the lowest points of our life. You might be at a very low point. You know what? And let me just say this, because of God's grace and his mercy and his love. You know what? You've wandered far away. You know what? He's saying, well, his arms are extended to you this morning. I love that. That friend of mine, that when I was in Bible college, you know what? He said, I'm going to go ahead and keep my arms extended to my son. Eventually, you know, he came home. And they literally took out, so to speak, the fatted calf and the robe and killed the fatted calf, and they welcomed him home. I thank God that our God is so much like that. I think in this particular passage of Scripture, you see a beautiful picture of God's love. You see a beautiful picture of a father's love to a son that disappointed him, but his father never went ahead and gave up on him. You know, this ought to remind us of the grace and provision that God has for you. You know what? Grace and provision of God's never far from us. You know what? You may have wandered away a little bit. You know what? But his grace and his provision is never far from you. I think of people that have had and enjoyed what we get to enjoy this morning. I'm talking about God's people. I'm talking about Christian people. They got saved and they were on fire. And maybe they went years serving the Lord, whatever the case may be. Many, many different scenarios. But they went ahead and, boy, they loved God and they wanted to serve God. And they were in church and they go to Sunday school and they enjoyed the fellowship and they enjoyed the preaching and they enjoyed it all. But they left it all for the thrill of the world. How often, you know, and I brought up a few illustrations recently, you know, as I'm door knocking here, even in my previous ministry, you know what, people that have once been in the fold, if you will, that just were faithful and just serving God, but, you know, something distracted them. You know, maybe they got wrapped up in the world or some wicked sin, or maybe as a result they're addicted or whatever the case may be, but something went ahead and detracted and distracted them. And boy, it's amazing how often when I'm out door knocking, you know what they'll say is, "Brother so-and-so, I used to ride the bus. I used to sit there in a Sunday school class, and Brother so-and-so or Miss so-and-so used to go ahead and teach me. Is Brother so-and-so, is Miss so-and-so still there?" You know, and they've gone ahead, they experimented, if you will, with the world, and they had it made. They loved everything about the Christian life, but they said, "Man, you know, maybe there's something more. Maybe there's something I'm missing." You're not missing anything out in the world today. Boy, you know, the best thing you young people can do is you just stay put. You keep on getting under the preaching of the Word of God. You let the Holy Spirit of God convict you and lead you and guide you every step of the way. You listen to your mama and daddy. You listen to your preacher. You listen to your youth pastor. You listen to your Sunday school teacher. You listen to the counselors, if you will, the godly counselors that God has put in your way. You know, you'll never go wrong taking heed to their advice. You'll never go wrong, young person, by opening up the Word of God and letting the Word of God teach you and allowing Him to lead you and guide you every step of the way. Young person, you know, there's nothing out there. You know, the world may go ahead and offer everything, the money and the frills and the women and the immorality and all of that stuff, and you may think it's fun for a little while, but after a little while you're going to be like this prodigal son. Come to yourself and you're stinking like. You get to that point, how did I get here? You know how you got there? You stopped listening to your daddy. You thought you had a better way. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You go ahead and try your way, but after a while you're going to look and say, "What did should have listened to dad." You'll never go wrong, young people. Boy, if you've got a godly dad, you'll never go wrong sitting down listening to your dad's advice. And you, let me just stop and say this. And dads, take time and listen to them. But you'll never go wrong. You know what? If you got to go ahead and say, "Dad, can I sit down and talk to you a little while?" Go ahead and listen to what your dad says about maybe dating, about maybe a girl or a guy or a job or college or whatever. You know, the big decisions, young people, you ought not make on your own. You ought to go ahead and get the advice and the leadership from God Almighty. But boy, it'd be good to sit down with dad and even your mom and say, "Mom, Dad, what do you think about this? What do you think about that college? What do you think about this girl that I'm dating or this guy that I'm dating? What do you think about, you know, I got this job offer. I just want to know what you think about it." You know, and if I may take it a step further as well, you know, it's always good to use the preacher too. Every so often, you know, I spend much time just answering calls and just answering sometimes simple questions or harder questions or, "Preacher, what should I do about this?" But you know what? It's good to have godly influences in your life that you can just pick up, call, or just make an appointment, whatever the case may be. Say, "Hey, can I talk to you about this? Can I talk to you about this? I need some advice about this. Would you help me with it?" A child needs... in need, yearns for his father's love. We see that here. A broken sinner realizes his need for the love of God as well. You know, the son soon realized he couldn't make it on his own. Let me tell you something. If you're here today, you don't know Christ as Savior, you know what? You're not going to get there on your own merit, to heaven on your own merit. You know what? You've got to understand how the depth, if you will, of the love of God. You got to understand that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, you know, He so loved you that He gave His only Son to die on the cross for you. You may think that your good life, you may think that your baptism, you may think that your sacrament, or you may think that your communion, or some confessional booth, or whatever the case may be, or your good work is going to go ahead and get you to heaven, but it's only through Jesus Christ that it'll get you there. It will not be on your merit. You're going to have to come to a point and understand how much that God loves you, and that He sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross, and He's the only one, He's the only Lamb, He's the only one that could take all the sin debt of this world. He shed every drop of His blood. He loved you, and He shed every drop of His blood on that cross. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. It's not by a religion, or it's not by some other way. He is the way. It's not a way. He is the way. He is the truth and the life. If you're here today, you don't know Jesus as Savior, you can't go ahead and count on your own good works. You got to come to a point that you're a sinner. You realize that Jesus paid the price of your sin, and that the price of sin is death and hell. But Jesus, He paid that price, and you open your heart. You turn from your sin. Sincerely ask Christ to come into your heart, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God loves you. God loves you. Oh, dear sinner friend, if you're today, you don't know Christ as Savior, boy, make Father's Day that day of salvation. Won't you say today, you know what? You know what? You know what? Yeah, you have an earthly father, but make your Heavenly Father today. That'd be a wonderful Father's Day. And the Father eagerly sought for His Son's return. We know the story as well, and you know what? The Bible says that the Son came to Himself, and He went home. His Father saw Him, ran to Him, had compassion on Him, and kissed Him. You know what? Maybe, child of God, maybe here today you don't even know God, know Christ as Savior. You know what? The Father eagerly wants you to come home. You're here today and you're backslidden. You know there's things in your life that you know aren't in line with God. You know what? God says, come home. And it's drawing you away from God. He says, come on home. If you're here today and you need to be saved, you know, He says, come unto Me. Come. Let Me show you, and let's have someone show you from the Word of God how you could be saved and how you could have eternal life. After the forgiveness, another thought here. After the forgiveness, the Father wiped the slate clean. The Father wiped the slate clean. Even though the Son squandered all that the Father had or gave Him, the Father still gave Him the best of everything. God so much is very much the same way. You can go ahead and squander all into the world, but you know what? He'll wipe the slate clean. And He'll still give you the best of everything. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to heaven. I don't deserve it. You don't deserve it. None of us deserve it. But I know the promise of John 14, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. I know today, and I know, and I know, and I know as sure as my name is Sean Robert Weeks. You probably never knew that. New information. But Sean Robert Weeks, I know as sure as my name is that. And I'll probably get a little bit of that from now on. Someone's going to go ahead and kick me around with my middle name. Nothing wrong with it. I like my name. Amen. But anyways, as sure as my name is who I am, I'm on my way to heaven. I know that. And you know what? You can too. Maybe you're not saved. Well, you can have heaven as your home today. Maybe you're a backslidden Christian. You know, maybe there's some things, maybe there's an area in your life. Maybe that little sin, that little besetting sin, the Bible says, that little sin that you think isn't going to affect anybody, but you know that if it gets bigger and bigger, it's going to go ahead and cause you to veer off and cause you not to be what God wants you to be. And eventually it will bring bring you to a point of you being miserable. Maybe you're, just to put it quite bluntly, maybe you're backslidden today. Boy, if you're like that today, won't you go ahead and say, you know what, I'm going to come home. I'm going to come back to the Father. I know that God has his arms open to me, and I want to feel that love, and I want the arms, so to speak, to wrap his love around me. And if that's you today, boy, you ought to go ahead and deal with that sin while it's fresh. The Holy Spirit's convicting you of something in your life that you know is not in line with God. Won't you go ahead and you deal with that before it brings you to a point of destruction? Maybe dads, get back to you dads for a couple minutes. You know, you have a wonderful opportunity ahead of you. Whether you be a young dad as far as having a little baby and so forth, or whether you've been rearing your kids for many years, or maybe your kids have already left, but you know what? Understand the wonderful opportunities that you have. Understand the responsibility that you have. You know what? Your kids may be out of the home now, but you still have a responsibility of being dad. I'm a 41-year-old man. There are still times that I thank God that I have my daddy. There are times I can call him. Say, Dad, I don't know what to do about this. Could you just give me a little advice about it? Yeah. You know, and he's just there to talk to. I thank God for that. I thank God for that. But you know, if your children have already moved on, so to speak, you still have the responsibility of being dad. Don't forget that. I don't know where you are. I just kind of gave you my heart a little bit. Very familiar story. All of us know it. You probably heard it preached 100 different times in your life. But you know what? I think if there's ever a story in the Bible, one of the stories in the Bible that depict a father's love for his children unconditionally, it's the prodigal son, the prodigal's father. If there's ever a story that depicts a wonderful love of our Heavenly Father, among many stories, of course, we know the love of our Heavenly Father by sending his son Jesus, but you see through this the prodigal father, if you will, you see the father in our story, you know, depict very much the character traits of our Heavenly Father. The love, the unconditional love, the mercy and the grace, and just being there and with open arms, even when we've won. I don't know where you are this morning, but I urge you, man, if you're unsaved today, won't you go ahead and make today the day of salvation? I understand maybe there may be some that have wandered away a little bit, and you know you're off track as far as your walk with God or what have you, and maybe it's time to go ahead, and it's not maybe, it's time to go ahead and deal with that. Maybe your dads want to just come forward, just thank God for your sons, or your parents maybe want to come forward, thank God for your children, or your children may want to come forward and thank God for your parents and for your dad. Dads, this is your day. Happy Father's Day. Children, teenagers, don't forget to go to your dad and give him a hug and say Happy Father's Day. Wife, treat him as the king that he is today. Should be every day. But today's his day. And again, I go ahead and say to you, dads, happy Father's Day. Thank you, fathers, for your example. God spoke to your heart some way, some form this morning. I ask you, just a moment, won't you go ahead and make a decision for Christ? Our Heavenly Father, we love you. God, we thank you for your word, God. We thank you for the practical word of God. God, I ask you today that you would bless this invitation. Lord, I ask you, maybe there's one under the sound of my voice that doesn't know Christ as Savior. Boy, today would be a great day to settle that. I pray today you'd work on their heart, and perhaps they'll have the courage to come forward and shake this preacher's hand and say, Preacher, I want to be saved. I want to know what the Bible says about being saved in eternal life in heaven. Maybe there's a Christian that's wandered away, just getting off course, if you will. And I pray today that would be that day of rekindling and freshening up, if you will, their relationship with you and getting some things right. Maybe there's some fathers that need to take care of business and set some priorities straight or whatever, and understand more of their responsibility and the opportunities that they have. I just pray, dear God, that you'd have your will and way in this invitation. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Let me just ask you a question or two. Maybe here today you say, Preacher, I don't know for sure I'm saved. If I was to die today, I don't know for sure I'd go to heaven. But I want someone to show me from the Word of God how I could be saved. I will not call you by name. I will not embarrass you. I will not point you out. But say, preacher, would you please pray with me about this matter? Here's my hand. Anybody at all? Maybe here today you say, pastor, I'm saved, but you know God spoke to my heart. Maybe it's an area of fatherhood. Maybe it's an area of motherhood or parenting. Maybe it's an area of the condition, spiritual condition that you may be in right now. I don't know what it is, but preacher, just pray with me. Again, I won't call you by name. I won't point you out, but you just pray with me about some matters. Here's my hand. Here's my hand. Anybody at all? Anybody else? You may put your hands down. Heavenly Father, you saw the hands. You know the hearts. I pray, God, you'd have your will and way in this invitation in Jesus' name. Heads about her. I do want to take a moment and say this to you, dads. Again, happy Father's Day to you. And to all you men, I appreciate you so very, very much. And I, whether you are a dad or not, we have a gift for all you fathers and for all you men here. It's a little pen, also a little bookmark, Bible bookmark, or however you want to use it, if you will, back there, and the usher back there. Before you leave, make sure you get that gift from us to you. And again, dads, have a great day today. And men, again, I thank you. It's a privilege to be your preacher. Thank you for the influence that you have, no doubt, in somebody's life, some younger generation's life. And I certainly thank you for that. Any prayer requests today you'd like to have your preacher pray for? Anybody have a need you'd like to have me pray for? We always take a couple requests, a few requests, if you will, right after service. Yes, Carol? All right, Brother Ron, come forward as you have. I appreciate Brother Ron. He'll close in prayer again. Men, fathers, get your gift on the way out. There is no choir tonight. I'll give you a little extra time with family, but let's be here for the service tonight at 6 o'clock, okay? Brother Ron, would you close in prayer?
Let's pray. Dear Lord God, thank you for, Lord, for being our Heavenly Father, Lord, that we can go to you in prayer, and Lord, you know our thoughts, but you want us to come to you in prayer, and Lord, I just thank you that you do answer prayer, and you are there for us always, never moving, never leaving, never changing, Lord. I thank you for that. Lord, thank you for this message today. Thank you for these prayer requests, Lord. I prayed, we all have unsaved loved ones, Lord, that you would answer those prayer requests. Help us to be a witness and a testimony as well, Lord. Pray for Carol and Yulia's unspoken, for this lady Karen and for this lady's stepfather, for their salvation, Lord. For Miss Beth's brother with the infection in her leg. Lord, for Anita and Tom, Lord, just be with them as well. Bring Anita back to health and be with Tom as he's taking care of Anita. Pray for Doreen and her family as what they're going through, Lord. You just bring comfort there, Lord, and help us to be a comfort to her as well. Pray for Penny's surgery upcoming, Lord. Help her to endure these last couple days before her surgery, Lord, and help the surgery to go well and go through this time, Lord. I just thank you, Lord, for all that you do here on a Sunday and throughout the week, Lord. Thank you for our pastor, for your word. Thank you for the buses, Lord. Give us a safe trip home and bring us back safe tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.